This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. A report from the Charlotte Observer says medical examiners in North Carolina routinely skip critical steps in their investigations. They rarely go to the scene of the death. Their autopsy rate is well below the national average, and in some cases, they do not actually examine the bodies. Four reporters from the Charlotte Observer put together a five-part investigative series about medical examiners and the system in North Carolina. It's called Fatally Flawed. With us to talk about the series is one of those reporters, Fred Clayson Kelly. Fred, welcome to the State of Things.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Tell me how this works. I've lived in places where mostly a medical examiner is a line item on a county budget. How does it work here in North Carolina?
Well, in North Carolina, we moved away from a county system back in the 50s and 60s. We moved to a state-run system in which a chief medical examiner in Raleigh appoints local medical examiners in different counties, oversees their investigations to make sure – is supposed to make sure they follow all the steps – and then records the results of those investigations.
Now, are these medical examiners, is that a full-time job, or are these people who are doing something else and then act as medical examiner when called on?
They are mostly doctors who have who work in hospitals or have private practices, and they conduct their investigations in their spare time. This presents a lot of difficulties because in many hospital emergency rooms, let's say, a doctor can't actually leave the hospital if there is a death that happens and they need to investigate. And so they would have the body sent to a morgue and they would actually start their investigation the next day or sometime later, which is problematic in any sort of investigation because usually the more time you lose, the more evidence you lose.
Right. Your team requested death records from the state. What did you take away when you got hold of those records? First of all, give us a sense of how many records you went through.
We went through about 130,000 deaths that have occurred since 2001. So it went from 2001 till about mid-2013.
All right. And what red flags for you? What happened is or what patterns began to emerge?
Well, we when we originally started this story way back in 2012, we were made aware of some lawsuits involving allegations against medical examiners. And these suits claim they, you know, weren't following the guidelines that are supposed to direct their investigations. So we then requested this information or data from the state, a large database. And when we looked at it, we looked for certain red flags. One of the things we looked for is whether the body was viewed before it was buried. We looked for if the medical examiner went to the scene. We also look for cases where the cause of death may have changed. For example, a death may have went from a ruling of natural causes to homicide. In many times in those cases, the state chief medical examiner has reviewed the case and determined that the medical examiner made a mistake or a misjudgment and thus had to change the ruling.
Well, I want to get to some of your findings in a second, but first I want to ask you, when is the medical examiner called in?
Medical examiners are called in about 13% of all deaths annually. These would be sort of the hardest cases to solve. Most deaths are pretty routine and natural, but these cases that they would handle would involve suspicious or sudden and unexplained deaths, homicides, car wrecks, suicides, drownings, those sorts of cases.
All right. You wrote about a particularly horrifying incident in Franklin County in 2005 involving Larry Green. Tell us about that one.
Well, this case is right out of a horror movie plot. What we had was a young man named Larry Green who was hit by a car trying to cross the street. The first on the scene were EMTs from Franklin County. They made a mistaken assumption that he was in fact dead and called the medical examiner, Dr. J.B. Perdue. Perdue gets on the scene, and says, yeah, he's dead. But there was eventually some question about this because he was asked, people thought they heard breathing coming from the body. And people thought they saw muscle twitches. And when Perdue was asked about this by folks at the scene, he sort of explained it away. At one point explaining that it's kind of what happens when you put, frog legs in boiling water. It wasn't until the body had been sent to a morgue in a refrigerator for a period of time, and the police called and said, we need to look at this body again, that the terrible mistake was discovered. The man was, in fact, alive. Mm. The case has now been in the courts for years, and the Larry Green side is saying that the injuries he suffered permanent brain damage, and he lost the ability to walk. They're saying that that was caused by his time in the morgue and the mistake by the medical examiner. The state contends that his condition is caused by the injuries he suffered in the car wreck. And so this legal battle has gone on for nearly 10 years now. The family did get a settlement in Franklin County, but they have been unsuccessful in their attempts to hold the state accountable. And right now their suit is in front of something called the North Carolina Industrial Commission, which will take that case up later this year, I believe.
And here's a case where a doctor followed most of the procedures. They were at the scene. They were looking at the body. It was just a terrible mistake.
Yeah, and in fact, Dr. Perdue contends that as a medical examiner, it was not his job to declare anyone dead. In their investigative guidelines, it does say that medical examiners are not responsible for declaring death, which is a valid point. But most people looking in from the outside would assume that a medical examiner would know when someone's actually dead.
And if you have a doctor at the scene, it's got to be somebody's responsibility, right?
Somebody has to to take responsibility for making things right.
Well, tell us about you. There's another investigation. This is the death of David Worley last year in Hartnett County.
This was a really, really heartbreaking case. I mean, his mom has just been devastated, one, by his death, but then the circumstances that followed made the pain even worse. He was found dead after this car wreck, and the medical examiner came through and announced that he died from his injuries in the wreck. It wasn't until one of his children told relatives that he saw mommy stabbing daddy, mm. that the mistake was discovered. The family then had the funeral home check the corpse, and they found multiple stab wounds in its back. And as the police arrived at the house to investigate the case, they say a woman who was David Worley's wife was leaving and had her bags packed. Mm. She's now charged with murder in his death. When we interviewed the medical examiner and asked him, well, how could this be missed? She said that she didn't turn the body over, which was a violation of the investigative guidelines. She was supposed to check the front and the back. She said she was incapable of turning the body over because he was too heavy.
So here's one in Franklin County, the last example in Harnett County, and of course there are many, many more. We will link to your excellent series at our website, stateofthings.org, so that you can see the entire series. But before you leave, the chief medical examiner in North Carolina, Deborah Radish, has commented on this. What has she told you, and what has she said about all this?
Well, she's written an op-ed piece that appeared in the Charlotte Observer. I think her main thrust is that the state government is aware of the problems that exist. There's a greater push than there has been in the past to rectify the situation. She did not challenge the findings in the series, but I think she did sort of state that she'd wish that we'd emphasize more of the positive things more. And so they're pointing to the fact that they're going to put extra money in the system. They've raised some salaries of some forensic pathologists who perform the autopsies in the system. Thus, that'll increase their ability to do recruiting and such.
All right. Thanks for your hard work, Fred. We will link to your series at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you very much, Fred Clayson Kelly.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Fred's a reporter with the Charlotte Observer. He helped write the series Fatally Flawed, along with Elizabeth Leland, Ames Alexander, and Gavin Off about. And Gavin Off, it's about medical examiner system in North Carolina. You can link to our website, find the link to our website at stateofthings.org. Just ahead, remembering the massacre at Tiananmen Square 25 years later. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.